Amen, Micah. Whatever the needs can meet every need. The book of Genesis this morning, the book of Genesis. Yes, ma'am. Amen, sis. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good. Amen. I appreciate that. Book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 14, and we'll begin reading verse number 10 today. You're willing and able to stand. Genesis chapter 14, and beginning in verse number 10, we'll read just a few verses and kind of look at several things in the chapter itself, but I want to look at a thought that God's been stirring in my heart. I, for some time, brought it back fresh in my heart this past week, and I want to try to just bring it out. You pray the Lord help me. I can get it out the way I want to. Amen. Sometimes, and these other preachers can relate to this, you'll get something in your heart and you just feel like you don't quite get it out like you really want to. So you pray the Lord to help us, enable us this morning. Genesis chapter 14 and beginning in verse number 10. The Bible said the vale of Sodom was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, all their victuals, and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre the Amorite, brother Eshcol, and brother Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, today for mercy and for grace. Oh, for grace that is indeed sufficient for every need. Thank you for saving grace and keeping grace and supplying grace. And Lord, grace that'll get us all the way to heaven. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for it today. I ask you now for a little while, I open our hearts and our minds and ears for the word of God. I beg you, Lord, in that name above every name, in the name of Jesus, I bind the forces of the enemy, all the things that would try to distract and cause us to miss what you have for us. I ask you to remove it, Lord, and may the Spirit of God and the word of God have freedom to work in our hearts and midst today. Save sinners, stir your people. Above all, I want to exalt and glorify your precious name. Have your will and way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I've read to you today, probably for some, an unfamiliar scripture. You don't hear a great deal of preaching out of Genesis 14. We looked last Sunday dealing with Lot and talked about his downward spiral, how he wound up in Sodom, and that's where we find him in Genesis chapter 14. We find that according to verse 1 and 2. In verse 1, there's four kings. Verse 2, there's five kings. And the four come against the five and whip them. They defeat them and take everybody captive. And that includes Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot is living. Now, I want to stress something to you real quickly. Hear me good. Lot would have never wound up in captivity had he not left Abraham. Amen. He made a poor decision, a bad decision, when the herdsmen began to fight. And Abraham said, you're going to have to go left or right, and I'll go the other. Lot should have just sold everything he had and said, Abraham, I'm going to stay with you. You're worshiping the true God. You're building altars everywhere you go. But Lot began to lean with the flesh and took after the well-watered plains, and he winds up in Sodom. And because of that choice, when the war breaks out, and by the way, this is the first recorded war in all of the Bible, is this particular battle and war that takes place. And Lot is among the captives that are taken by the four kings. But then I'll look at verse 13, where I'll bring our thought from. The Bible said, and there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre the Amorite, brother Eshcol and brother Manah, and these were confederate with Abram. We find that word comes to Abram that they've taken Sodom, and that includes his nephew Lot. Now, I find it interesting. I want you to bear with me in laying this groundwork just a minute, and I'll get to my thought. I find it interesting that the Bible said and told Abram the Hebrew. Now, you say, well, preacher, what's the big deal of that? Wasn't he the first Hebrew? Wasn't he first Jew? Yes, he was. But this word Hebrew here doesn't mean nationality. It's not referring to him being the first one. But that word Hebrew, if you look it up in this verse of Scripture, it means an Eberite or a descendant of Eber. But it don't stop there either. This word Hebrew means one from beyond. It also means one who passes over. It means beyond the river. In other words, you could sum it up like this: the man beyond the river, or the man from the other side. And as I was studying and run across that, and that definition, the man from the other side, boy, the Holy Ghost began to stir my heart as I thought, the man from the other side. Here's where I'm going with this. I'm going to use Abram as a type and picture of the Savior, and use Lot as a type and picture of a sinner. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if it was not for the man from the other side, from the glory world, the God man, had Jesus not wrapped himself in flesh, came into a sin-cursed world, and died at Calvary, we'd all be in hell today. But for the man from the other side, that's what I'm going to preach on just a minute, out of these verses, the man from the other side. I'm going to say to you and I today, we owe everything to Jesus Christ. It is not that we got good enough. Amen. It's not that we turned over a new leaf. It's the fact that Christ came where we were to bring us where he is. Amen. Oh, friend, we could have never got to God. Are you listening to me? All your religion, all your do's and don'ts would never get you to God. But Christ came that we could be reconciled unto God. Amen. The Bible said it was God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now I got looking. There's three things I'll look at and I'll be done. First of all, as we see Abram, a type of the Savior, a lot of type of the sinner, this man from the other side. Won't you notice that first of all, Abram's intel, for he knew about Lot, according to verse 13, and told, they tell him about the things that are concerning Lot. But can I say this? Abraham knew who Lot was before this event ever happened. Amen. You see, he knew who he was. He knew where Lot had been born. He knew Lot's character. He knew Lot's habits. He knew Lot personally. Amen. Not only that, but he knew what Lot had done.
He knew about the choice that Lot had made, had to take after the well-watered plains instead of serving the true God and staying in Canaan's land. But he also knew where he was right then, that he was a captive. Can I say this to you today? The Lord knows everything about you. There's nothing about you or me that is hid from God. Amen. He knows us. He knows the day we was conceived, the day we was born. He knows our character. He knows our faults, our failures. He knows everything about us. He even knows how we are right now this morning. Oh, see, we may slip in and put our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes on, look like every other Baptist around us. But God really knows us. Amen. You can fool me. It ain't hard. And I could fool you. It's not hard. But you can't fool the Lord. He really does know us intimately. He knows our thoughts afar off. He knows everything about us. Oh, friend, God really knows you this morning. Well, now we see his intel. But I notice in verse 14, Abram's interest, for he is interested. For the Bible said when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants. You see, he's showing he's still interested in Lot. Now understand something, hear me right here. Abram's been mindful of Lot the whole time he's been in Sodom. You think about that. Hey, a lot of us in our day, you might as well be honest, we'll probably cut some people off in our minds and try our best not to ever think about them again. Hello? But Abram was mindful of Lot, where he was and what he was a dead, how he's a kept. He was mindful of Lot. Not only was he mindful of Lot, but he had a mission to rescue Lot. He got his army together. Hey, he wasn't like us. Now, most of us, somebody does you wrong and you don't like somebody, you ain't careful, you get an attitude. Well, just let them do what they want to and die like they are. Right? And nod your heads like this. You know I'm telling the truth. But Abram had a mission. He said, I'm going to rescue Lot. I'm going to rescue all those in captivity. He was mindful. He had a mission. But he made a move toward Lot. For he pursued the enemy. Hey, can I say this to you today? That God is mindful of you. The psalmist said in Psalm 8 and verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Oh, you dwell on that, and they'll catch you in your yard shouting this afternoon that the very God of heaven would even think about you. As wretched as we are, low down and sorry, deserving of hell, but God is mindful of sinners. Hey, and I want to say too, he came on a mission 2,000 years ago. A rescue mission. Oh, yeah. Hey, I want to help you right here. A Calvary wasn't an afterthought. I've heard songs say after all else failed, Jesus went, oh, no. There ain't never been plan A, plan B, and plan C. It's always been plan A, Jesus, as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. Adam and Eve didn't surprise him. Hello. You say, preacher, I can't grasp all that. I can't neither, but I know it's right. Amen. And he came in this world, friend, to rescue fallen man today. Oh, friend, but I say this too. Aren't you glad he made that move towards you? I preach it a lot. I'm going to keep on preaching it. You just might as well realize it ain't going to change. Because I'm preaching the Bible. You don't get saved without him first making the first move. Amen. He's got to come after you. I know what people mean. They say, I'm glad I found the Lord. I know what they're saying, but it ain't a good terminology, because you didn't find him. He wasn't lost. He found you. Amen. We were as sheep going astray. We was doing our own thing. But God made a move toward us in saving us, had to rescue us. I'm telling you, I've never got over that first move he ever made. Hey, I've known who Christ was in my mind from a child. Oh, but that day he made a move toward me on a personal level, had to save my soul. Hey, that's how you got in. You didn't roll out of bed and say, this is my day. Oh, no. Oh, but the Lord have made a move your way. Amen. Hey, we see Abram's intel, Abram's interest. And, oh, I'm glad the Lord is interested in sinners. You may be here lost today and you don't think nobody cares. Your family may not care, but the God of heaven does. He is interested in your soul that's headed to hell and needing to be saved today. Oh, yeah, Abram's intel, Abram's interest. But then notice Abram intervenes in verse 14 and through 16. The Bible said, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus, and he brought back all the goods, and also brought again the brother, his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Hey, Abram intervened. Hey, Lot was going to die where he was. He was going to die like he was. Had Abram not intervened. You know, we make a statement along and along, and you agree with this. As we make friends with somebody, we'll say, I'm glad the Lord let our paths cross. You ever said that? I'm glad for the day our paths crossed. I will say, I'm glad for the day I came to the cross. Amen. I'm glad that Jesus Christ intervened in my world, me at a breakneck speed headed to hell, I'm deserving to go to hell, but Christ intervened on my behalf. You see Abram here in these verses, we see Abram, he fights the battle. He fights the battle. You see, they couldn't get their release on their own. They couldn't do anything to get free. They had to have somebody that was more stronger than those four kings. And their armies had to have somebody with the might that could come to set them free. And Abram was that man. Hey, no, that let me say this. Abram freed those in bondage. Amen. Set them free from what had them bound there under the captivity of the enemy. And I say this today, Christ fought a battle at Calvary. Amen. Hey, if it wasn't for Calvary, there would be no salvation. If it wasn't for Calvary, hey, we'd still be bound in chains of our sin. I'd still be on the road to hell or be in hell today. Oh, friend. But Christ went to the cross, gave his life. I hear all these folk that are seemingly so intellectual, or think they are. They always want to argue, who killed Jesus? Never heard them talk. Who killed Jesus? I want to tell you this, we're guilty of his death. Everybody, Jew and Gentile, we're all guilty of the death of Christ, but we didn't kill him. Amen. For Jesus said in John 10, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it up again. Hey, you understand something. At the 3 o'clock hour that day at Calvary, when he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He's the only one that has ever chosen the moment of his death. You say, but preacher, folk kill themselves. They don't choose the moment of their death because they don't die sometimes immediately. Hello. But he chose the very moment. Why? He done said these words, it is finished. Hey, victory has come. The sin debt has been paid in full. And now man, woman, boy, girl can be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Hey, he fought the battle. Let me say this. He frees those in bondage. I want to say this. Sometimes as a preacher, when you have some convictions and standards, everybody, they talk about all that poor crowd. They're living in bondage. I'm not. I've been free for 36 years now. You hear me? I know what it is to be bound. When I was lost, I was bound. But when I got saved, I got free. I've been free indeed since that night as a young person, bowing down under conviction, repented of my sin, and Christ saved me and set me free. I am free this morning. Amen. Hey, I'm proud to be an American, free country, but I'm more free than what my citizenship can make me free. Amen. I'm not living by the letter of the law, though I know what it says. Amen. My motivation is love. That's right. I serve him because I love him. Nobody else could do what he did for me. Amen. I am free, free this morning. Hey, are you really free? Amen. Hey, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Hey, no longer bound up. Amen. You know what? I came to church because I wanted to. You say, preacher, I come because I don't come. God will judge me and the wife will get on me and the husband will get on me. That's bondage. That's bondage. I'm coming because I want to. Amen. Why? I'm free. I'm free. Hey, it is good being free in Christ. Now, before somebody go off to that preacher saying that you can just live any old way you want to, I'll not quote this Bible. Because I will admit this, you're one of his youngins and you get out of line, he'll whoop you. He'll whoop you. Amen. But I'm not serving because I'm afraid of a whooping. That's right. I know it's there. If I get out of the will of God, he'll take me to the woodshed. But I'm not doing what I'm doing because I'm afraid of that. I'm doing it because I'm free. Amen. See, a lot of folk are living in bondage. Others are thinking, well, they're free to just do whatever they want to. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Grace ain't a license to sin. Amen. Baptists get kind of slammed for that. They say, y'all just, if I believe what you did, I just do anything I want to. Oh, no, you won't want to. Amen. You want to get changed. That's right. When you got set free, you want to's changed. Amen. I'm here because I want to be here. I love him. I want to worship him. I want to serve him. Why? He set me free. And I will say this where I get done. There ain't nobody has come by to reassure me that I'm free. That makes about as much sense as after Christ resurrected Lazarus, going by every day and saying, now Lazarus, you're alive again. Do you think Lazarus had to be reminded he'd been resurrected? I really don't think so. Amen. If you're saved, there is something on the inside. The something really is a someone. It's the Spirit of God. Amen. And you know that you're free. Hey, what are you saying? It's because of the man from the other side. You realize even today he sits on the other side at the right hand of the Father. That's how we have access to the Father. Amen. And like somebody shared this week, I heard in preaching, I like to hear other men preaching, feed your soul. He made this statement, we talk about Christ interceding. He said he is intercession. You think about that, that's right. He's it. He's right there. And guess what? You're in him. I'm in him. We're sitting in heavenly places. Preacher, I'm sitting on the Baptist pew killing my back. Well, in Christ, you're done there. Amen. That's how saved you really are. You really need to grab that. If some of you ever grasp that, we just have to get out of your way. Amen. You think some of the rest of us get excited. That ever really dawns on some of you, we'll just step back and let you have it. Amen. That when you get a hold, I'm free. I'm in Christ. I'm a child of God. I'm headed for heaven. Oh, it's a blessing. It ain't a drudgery. I'm not sad that I'm saved. I'm glad. Amen. Hey, I'm glad I know this man from the other side. What about you? Father, take a very simple thought today. Use it, I pray, maybe some sinner. Lord, realize their lost condition. Be saved today. Lord, help your people. Lord, to be reminded of your grace and your mercy to us. Lord, I love you because you first loved me. And all you do in the invitation, we thank you. In Jesus' name, heads bowed and eyes closed.